time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you've been a student in this class, then you know that we're studying the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Now, this is obviously a story about a Samaritan, and it's obvious that this Samaritan is good. He is never actually called the Good Samaritan in the Bible. This is a title that we place on this story, and it is certainly one that fits. The way this story developed was a lawyer came to Jesus asking him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, well, what do you say? And the lawyer gave the right answer. That's to love God and to love our neighbor. And Jesus said, you've answered well. Go do that and you'll live. And I bet that lawyer felt sort of silly right then asking a question, and he knew the answer. And so he tried to justify himself. I think he's trying to justify himself for asking that question. And so going to a technicality, he says, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus did not get into technicalities with this lawyer. Instead, he told this story. And we're going to begin there in just a moment in the book of Luke. That's chapter 10 and verse 30 with this story and examine it in more detail. Now, while, before I do that, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the notes that we're reading and studying in this class are the notes that were developed by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of November the 30th, 1924. Now let me read to you this wonderful story Jesus told. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That priest was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. The priests were descendants of Aaron of the tribe of Levi, whose duty it was to make offerings for the people. It was also their duty to teach the people by precept and example the true worship of God. The law of God required mercy to burdened beasts as well as to suffering humanity. The priest ought to have been good, merciful, and a holy man, but this one was destitute of all such characteristics. He saw the robbed, naked, wounded, and suffering man lying helpless on the road, but he passed by on the other side, leaving him unaided. Luke chapter 10 and verse 31. And by chance, a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Now, verse 32. And in like manner, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. The Levites waited upon the priest in the service of the temple. They were taken in lieu of the firstborn of the children of Israel. And we read about that in Leviticus 3, verses 11 through 13. Like the priest, they should have known and practiced the law. But the Levite, like this priest, saw the wounded suffer and passed by without assistance. And then we read in Luke 10 and verse 33, but when a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. Well, the Samaritans, as we have already learned in previous lessons, were a mixed race. They were looked upon by the Jews as enemies and dogs, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, John 4 and verse 9. Yet this Samaritan had sympathy for the unfortunate traveler, and was more willing to sacrifice for him and to help him, and showed more of the Spirit of God than the self-righteous priest and Levite, according to their own interpretation of the law. Since this traveler was a Jew, they should have helped him as neighbors. If anyone had excuses for not helping him, that one was this Samaritan, for whom the wounded Jew had no respect. But the Samaritan was moved with compassion. Three different characters make this parable very forceful. In Luke chapter 25 and verse 34, we read, "He came to him and bound his wounds, and pouring oil on them and wine, and he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Samaritan went to the Jews, bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine." That'd be the remedies that would apply to the wounds, binding them up and purifying them, cleansing them so they would not become infected. Oil and wine were highly esteemed curatives and soothing remedies. The Samaritan then set the wounded man on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The inn here was no more than a common caravanserai, in which there was no room for Joseph and Mary when Jesus was born, Luke 2 and verse 7. This inn was a house for travelers kept by a host. I guess it would be this one somewhat like a hotel. The treatment of the wounded man by the Samaritan shows personal service, which required time and delay, as well as expense. Personal attention requires more self-sacrifice and is more blessed than money put into the hands of others, of some committee, for instance, to bind up wounds, to dress sores, to spend the night with a suffering stranger, requires self-denial and shows a willingness to suffer with another. No amount of money, no committees, no aid societies can take the place of and bring us the blessing of serving others ourselves. Such work is really not done by proxy. We read in verse 35 of Luke chapter 10, "And on the morrow he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I, when I come back again, will repay thee.' The Samaritan nursed this man through the night, and on the morrow, realizing it was safe to leave him, placed money in the hands of the host for further necessities. Not only so, but he requested the host to use more money if necessary, promising him to replace it. 2 shillings were about 34 cents. But money then would buy many times as much as it will with us, and besides, that amount seemed all that was necessary." And then the application. Which of these three, thinkest thou, proved neighbor unto him that fell among robbers? And he said, now this is the lawyer, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Go and do likewise." Which of these, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, prove neighbor to him that fell among robbers? Jesus shows by this not only who is our neighbor, but also what it is to love our neighbor as ourselves. In this way, he would break down the wall of racial prejudice between Jew and Samaritans and others. Any man is our neighbor, and a man in need is a neighbor for us to extend our love and help to. The Samaritan, though a stranger, was neighbor to the wounded Jew and did a neighbor's part by him. Jesus would bring together into one spiritual family and brotherhood all the nations of the earth. The lawyer could make but one answer to Jesus' question, and there was but one to make: he that showed mercy on him. Then the conclusion was supremely logical and irresistible: go and do thou likewise. Thus the tempter fell into the pit he dug for Jesus and was caught in his own trap. This is God's divine command to all now. This is love for men. Such service now on the part of those who claim to be Christians would reach the masses, open the ears to the truth, and make all men brothers. More than all, such sympathy, self-sacrifice, and personal service would bring to us the greatest good. We are blessed as we help and bless others. Now, I want to add something to Elam's notes, and that is, note the attitudes that we find here. The attitude of those robbers was, "What's yours is mine, if I can take it." The attitude of the priest and the Levite was, "What's mine is mine, if I can keep it." But the attitude of the Samaritan was, "What's mine is yours, if you need it." And that's the attitude we ought to have. The things we have, we must remember, are things we have by the grace and the gift of God. And it is God's means to work through men who are loving men to be able to reach out and extend that grace that has been given to us on into others. And in this way, God provides for those in need and for the widows and for the orphans. And so that's what we ought to be doing. We are to work and labor with our hands that we might have to give unto them that has need. And it is in this providential way that God provides for the needy. Now let me point out again, as I pointed out in an earlier program, what Jesus has done here with this lawyer. The lawyer asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" But Jesus now has taught the lawyer to be like that Samaritan and to ask this question, "Whose neighbor am I?" And that's the question we ought to be asking ourselves. One more point here that I think is rather interesting. When Jesus asked the lawyer, who is it that was neighbor, who proved neighbor unto him that fell among robbers, it would have been a good opportunity for this lawyer to say, "The good Samaritan." But those words are not found in this story. We call this the story of the good Samaritan. Here's what the lawyer said, "He that showed mercy on him." That lawyer, being a Jew, probably, like all the other Jews, hating the Samaritans, could not bring himself to say the Samaritan, only referred to him that showed mercy on him. Well, him that showed mercy on him was the good Samaritan. And maybe that lawyer learned the lesson and turned into a good lawyer. At the very end of this Sunday school lesson, we read this little poem. "Traveling to the better land, o'er the desert's scorching sand, Father, let me grasp thy hand. Lead me on, lead me on." Well, let's go on. I turn the page in this little Sunday school book, and I come to Sunday school notes that were prepared for the Sundays of December the 7th, 1924, in the story of the man born blind. And I want to read that story to you. It looks like I'm not going to have time to read all of it. The golden text for the Sunday school lesson is John chapter 9 and verse 5, where the blind man saw, what blind man said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Well, we're going to be reading this in the next lesson, but you know this story. Jesus healed several that were blind. In fact, the way Jesus went about healing the deaf and the blind and making the lame to walk is part of the ways that we know that Jesus was the Christ. And by doing these miraculous acts of benevolence, he teaches us that the Father in heaven is benevolent as well and loves us as Jesus loved us, because he came to show us the Father. Tune in and we'll study this in our next class.